August 10th. Our reading in the Old Testament today will be from the book of Ezra, chapter 10, verses 1 through 44. Why were the people commanded to divorce their wives and leave their children? Sounds kind of radical. Although the measure was extreme, intermarriage to heathens was strictly forbidden. And even the priests and Levites had done this. They had intermarried. This could be compared today to a Christian marrying a devil worshiper. Although a severe solution, it only involved 113 of the approximately 29,000 families. Ezra's strong act, though very difficult for some, was necessary to preserve Israel as a nation committed to God. Some of the exiles of the northern kingdom of Israel had lost both their spiritual and physical identity through intermarriage. Their heathen spouses had caused the people to worship idols. Ezra did not want this to happen to the exiles of the southern kingdom of Judah. Well, following Ezra's earnest prayer, the people admitted their sin to God. Then they asked for direction in restoring their relationship with God. True repentance does not end with words of confession. That would be mere lip service. No, it must lead to corrected behavior and changed attitudes. The very word repent means to turn. That means you're not going back that same direction. And when you sin and are truly sorry, confess this to God, ask His forgiveness, and accept His grace and mercy. Then, as an act of thankfulness for your forgiveness, make the needed corrections. Now, we'll see that the book of Ezra opens with God's temple in ruins and the people of Judah captive in Babylon. Ezra tells of the return of God's people, the rebuilding of the temple, and the restoration of the sacrificial worship system. Similarly, God is able to restore and rebuild the lives of people today. No one is so far away from God that he or she cannot be restored. Repentance is all that's required. No matter how far we've strayed or how long it's been since we've worshiped God, he is able to restore our relationship to him and rebuild our lives. All right, with that, let's begin our reading today here in the Old Testament. August 10th, the Old Testament. Ezra chapter 10, verses 1 through 44. While Ezra prayed and made this confession, weeping and lying face down on the ground in front of the temple of God, a very large crowd of people from Israel, men, women, and children, gathered and wept bitterly with him. Then Shechaniah, son of Jehiel, a descendant of Elam, said to Ezra, "We have been unfaithful to our God, for we have married these pagan women of the land. But in spite of this, there is hope for Israel. Let us now make a covenant with our God to divorce our pagan wives and to send them away with their children. We will follow the advice given by you and by the others who respect the commands of our God. Let it be done according to the law of God. Get up, for it is your duty to tell us how to proceed in setting things straight. We are behind you, so be strong and take action." So Ezra stood up and demanded that the leaders of the priests and the Levites and all the people of Israel swear that they would do as Shechaniah had said, and they all swore a solemn oath. Then Ezra left the front of the temple of God and went to the room of Jehohanan, son of Eliashib. He spent the night there without eating or drinking anything. He was still in mourning because of the unfaithfulness of the returned exiles. Then a proclamation was made throughout Judah and Jerusalem that all the exiles should come to Jerusalem. Those who failed to come within 3 days would, if the leaders and elders so decided, forfeit all their property and be expelled from the assembly of the exiles. Within 3 days, all of the people of Judah and Benjamin had gathered in Jerusalem. This took place on December 19th, and all the people were sitting in the square before the temple of God. They were trembling both because of the seriousness of the matter and because it was raining. Then Ezra the priest stood and said to them, "You have committed a terrible sin. By marrying pagan women, you have increased Israel's guilt. So now confess your sin to the Lord, the God of your ancestors, and do what he demands. Separate yourselves from the people of the land and from these pagan women." Then the whole assembly raised their voices and answered, "Yes, you are right. We must do as you say." Then they added, "This isn't something that can be done in a day or two, for many of us are involved in this extremely sinful affair, and this is the rainy season, so we cannot stay out here much longer. Let our leaders act on behalf of us all. Let everyone who has a pagan wife come at a scheduled time, accompanied by the leaders and judges of his city, so that the fierce anger of our God concerning this affair may be turned away from us." Only Jonathan, son of Azahel, and Jaaziah, son of Tikva, opposed this course of action, and they were supported by Meshullam and Shabbathai the Levite. So this was the plan they followed. Ezra selected leaders to represent their families, designating each of the representatives by name. On December 29th, the leaders sat down to investigate the matter. By March 27th, the first day of the new year, they had finished dealing with all the men who had married pagan wives. These are the priests who had married pagan wives. From the family of Jeshua, son of Jehozadak and his brothers, Mahaziah, Eleazar, Jarib, and Gedaliah, they vowed to divorce their wives, and they each acknowledged their guilt by offering a ram as a guilt offering. From the family of Immer, Hanani and Zebediah. From the family of Harim, Mahasiah, Elijah, Shemaiah, Jehiel, and Uzziah. From the family of Pashur, Elioenai, Maaseiah, Ishmael, Nethanel, Jozabad, and Elasa. These are the Levites who were guilty: Jozabad, Shimei, Keliah, also called Kelita, Pethahiah, Judah, and Eleazar. This is the singer who was guilty: Eliashib. These are the gatekeepers who were guilty: Shalom, Telem, and Uri. These are the other people of Israel who were guilty: from the family of Parosh, Remiah, Isaiah, Melchijah, Mijamin, Eleazar, Hashabiah, and Benaiah. From the family of Elam, Mattaniah, Zechariah, Jehiel, Abdi, Jerimoth, and Elijah. From the family of Zattu, Elioenai, Eliashib, Mattaniah, Jerimoth, Zebad, and Azizah. From the family of Bebai, Jehohanan, Hananiah, Zebai, and Athlai. From the family of Bani, Meshullam, Maluk, Adiah, Jashub, Sheal, and Jerimoth. From the family of Pehath Moab, Adna, Kilal, Benaiah, Mehaseiah, Mattaniah, Bezalel, Binyoi, and Manasseh. From the family of Harim, Eleazar, Ishijah, Melchijah, Shemaiah, Shimeon, Benjamin, Maluk, and Shemariah. From the family of Hashum, Mattani, Matata, Zebad, Elephelet, Jerimai, Manasseh, and Shimei. From the family of Bani, Maadai, Amram, Uiel, Benaiah, Bedaiah, Keluhai, Benaiah, Merimoth, Eliashib, Mattaniah, Mattani, and Jeesu. From the family of Binyui, Shimei, Shelemiah, Nathan, Adiah, Machnadibai, Shashai, Sherai, Azarel, Shelemiah, Shemariah, Shalom, Amariah, and Joseph. From the family of Nebo, Jiel, Mattathiah, Zebad, Zabina, Jadai, Joel, and Biniah. Each of these men had a pagan wife, and some even had children by these wives. And now, as we begin to look into today's reading of the New Testament, it will come from the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 1 through 20. Now, earlier, Paul explained what to do with open immorality in the congregation. Here, he teaches how the congregation should handle smaller problems between believers. Society has set up a legal system where disagreements can be solved in courts. But Paul declared that disagreeing Christians should not have to go to a secular court to resolve their differences. As Christians, we have the Holy Spirit and the mind of Christ. So why should we turn to those who lack God's wisdom? Because of all that we've been given as believers, and because of the authority we will have in the future to judge the world and the angels, we should be able to deal with the disputes among ourselves today. Now, why did Paul say Christians should not take their disagreements to unbelievers in secular courts? Well, there are several reasons. Three I can think of right off the bat. Number one, if the judge and jury are not Christians, well, they're unlikely to be sensitive to Christian values. And number two, the basis for going to court is often revenge. This should never be a Christian's motive. And number three, lawsuits make the church look bad, pure and simple, causing unbelievers to focus on its problems rather than its purpose. We'll see as we read this passage today that in a permissive society, it's easy for Christians to overlook or tolerate some immoral behaviors, like greed, drunkenness, gossip, whatever, while remaining outraged at others, like homosexuality, extortion. We cannot take part in sin or condone it in any way, nor should we be selective about what we condemn or excuse. Staying away from generally accepted sin is difficult, but it's no harder for us than it was for the Corinthians. God expects His followers in any age to hold up high standards. What did Paul mean when he said that our bodies belong to God? Many people say they have the right to do whatever they want with their own bodies, as if they're the owners. Although they think this is freedom, they're really enslaved to their own desires. When we become Christians, the Holy Spirit fills and lives in us. So, we no longer own our bodies. We've been bought with a price, and a high price. It refers to slaves purchased at auction. Christ's death freed us from sin, but it also obligates us to His service. If you live in a building owned by someone else, you don't violate the building rules. Because your body belongs to God, you must not violate His standards for living. And with that, let's begin our reading today here in the New Testament. August 10th, the New Testament. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 1 through 20. When one of you has a dispute with another believer, how dare you file a lawsuit and ask a secular court to decide the matter instead of taking it to other believers? Don't you realize that someday we believers will judge the world? And since you are going to judge the world, can't you decide even these little things among yourselves? Don't you realize that we will judge angels? So you should surely be able to resolve ordinary disputes in this life. If you have legal disputes about such matters, why go to outside judges who are not respected by the church? I'm saying this to shame you. Isn't there anyone in all the church who is wise enough to decide these issues? But instead, one believer sues another right in front of unbelievers. Even to have such lawsuits with one another is a defeat for you. Why not just accept the injustice and leave it at that? Why not let yourselves be cheated? Instead, you yourselves are the ones who do wrong and cheat even your fellow believers. Don't you realize that those who do wrong will not inherit the kingdom of God? Don't fool yourselves. Those who indulge in sexual sin, or who worship idols, or commit adultery, or are male prostitutes, or practice homosexuality, or are thieves, or greedy people, or drunkards, or are abusive, or cheat people, none of these will inherit the kingdom of God. Some of you were once like that, but you were cleansed, you were made holy, you were made right with God by calling on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. You say, I'm allowed to do anything, but not everything is good for you, and even though I'm allowed to do anything, I must not become a slave to anything. You say food was made for the stomach, and the stomach for food. Now, this is true, though someday God will do away with both of them. But you can't say that our bodies were made for sexual immorality. They were made for the Lord, and the Lord cares about our bodies. And God will raise us from the dead by His power, just as He raised our Lord from the dead. Don't you realize that your bodies are actually parts of Christ? Should a man take his body, which is part of Christ, and join it to a prostitute? Never! And don't you realize that if a man joins himself to a prostitute, he becomes one body with her? For the scriptures say, the two are united into one. But the person who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with Him. Run from sexual sin. No other sin so clearly affects the body as this one does. For sexual immorality is a sin against your own body. Don't you realize that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, who lives in you and was given to you by God? You do not belong to yourself, for God bought you with a high price, so you must honor God with your body. Our reading in the book of Psalms for today will come from Psalms chapter 31, verses 9 through 18. Where David describes the helplessness and hopelessness we feel when we are hated or rejected. But adversity is easier to accept when we recognize our true relationship with the sovereign God. Although our enemies may seem to have the upper hand, they are ultimately the helpless and hopeless ones. Those who know God will be victorious in the end. We can have courage today because God will preserve us. In saying, "My future is in your hands," David was expressing his belief that all of life's circumstances are under God's control. Knowing that God loves us and cares for us enables us to keep steady in our faith no matter what our circumstances may be. Psalm chapter 31, verses 9 through 18. Have mercy on me, Lord, for I'm in distress. Tears blur my eyes. My body and soul are withering away. I am dying from grief. My years are shortened by sadness. Sin has drained my strength. I am wasting away from within. I am scorned by all my enemies and despised by my neighbors. Even my friends are afraid to come near me. When they see me on the street, they run the other way. I am ignored as if I were dead, as if I were a broken pot. I have heard the many rumors about me, and I am surrounded by terror. My enemies conspire against me, plotting to take my life. But I am trusting you, O Lord, saying, "You are my God. My future is in your hands. Rescue me from those who hunt me down relentlessly. Let your favor shine on your servant. In your unfailing love, rescue me. Don't let me be disgraced, O Lord. For I call out to you for help. Let the wicked be disgraced. Let them lie silent in the grave. Silence their lying lips, those proud and arrogant lips that accuse the godly." Proverbs 21, verse 3. The Lord is more pleased when we do what is right and just than when we offer Him sacrifices.